that God is
here. We are one as we care, as we heal, we are healed, and we share warmth in God's embrace as we pray together in this place. We are one as we feast, as we feast, peace becomes the sun in the bread and the wine. There's a sense
Please be seated. Want to welcome everyone to the service of worship this week. Please join in the fellowship after the service down in the hall for tea and coffee, juice, water, and other things. Next week is Thanksgiving, which is wonderful. Blessing and safe travels if you are doing so, and on your family get-togethers, again, if you are doing that. Appleby has a fine tradition of filling up the front steps with food that will be donated to the Wesley Urban Ministries in Hamilton. So you can bring food that reflects the fall harvest. You can bring bags of apples, potatoes, squash, carrots, or food that might fill a food bank shelf. So let us show our thanks to God for the many good gifts that God has given us by sharing some of those gifts with others in a Thanksgiving harvest. This coming week is the Morning Glories on Tuesday morning, and then you can stay and go to the Seniors Lunch at noon right here. So it's a good deal. Come enjoy cabbage roll, casserole with homemade applesauce and cookies for dessert, and the Seniors Lunch is open to everyone at 12 o'clock. Invite a friend. Oh, you're right. It's after Thanksgiving. Oh, okay. Don't come this Tuesday for lunch. Okay? I made a boo-boo. Thank you for correcting me. It's next week you can come for lunch. The Morning Glories is here on Tuesday, but the lunch is next week. Sorry about that. Those announcements were together in the bulletin, and I just saw Tuesday. So the book study defining Canada, the books have arrived. So if you have your name for a book, please see me after church and I can give it out to you. And please, if you know of anyone in hospital, especially from the church family, please let me know, because it's not unusual. I go, I will ask, and for whatever reason, very rarely am I told if someone's in the hospital. You specifically have to say you're from Appleby United Church and you want your minister to see you to get on the list that I can see. So it's much easier if you know if someone's in, you call me or call the church office, then I know, then I can go. So please, please remember to do that. And the Appleby workshop mentioned with Dave Harder in the bulletin is been moved to Saturday, November 9th. So please note that. I said to mark the 26th in your calendar. Please mark the 9th on your calendar. And now we have some rummage news from our favorite rummage person.
Well, thank you, Alan. I didn't realize I was your favorite rummage person.
Our favorite.
Oh, thank you. Okay, our. So, Rummage Weeks, unlike Shark Week, which is 1 week on TV, Rummage Week is 2 weeks, which means you have 2 weeks to bring down your donations to the church. We have a fabulous group of Rummage Rangers, June Perret, Jill Attic, Lusky Walters, Ann Culbert, my good friend Linda, who helps run the set up the beautiful China Room, and my loving sister Susan, who will be here during the 2 weeks. You can come in during the day or evening, whenever, and hopefully one of those ladies will be here to help you receive your donations. So the next thing we need, though, other than Rummage Rangers and donations and volunteers to help on Friday and Saturday, we need a few good men and women to help set up our tables on the morning of Thursday, October the 17th, starting at around 9:30 in the morning. You can think about this, ponder this during the service, and then I'll come around to people and introduce myself, and we can chat about Rummage, and hopefully you'll be up for moving some tables. Thank you very much.
Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst, especially on Worldwide Communion Sunday. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us now acknowledge God's presence. When we find ourselves surrounded by supportive relationships, or when we feel lost and alone, unsure of the way forward, when our faith is rock solid and we are filled with wisdom, or when we are mired in doubt and we just don't know, all that we are, every circumstance and feeling, is welcomed by the Spirit into the heart of worship. Let us pray. God of the generations, we give you thanks for this day of faith, for those who have passed it on, for those who have tended to it, for those who have encouraged it within us. Faith of our ancestors, be they family, be they our friends, be they strangers, be they Moses and Mary, be they Dorothy Day and Martin Luther King Jr., be they close to home or halfway around the world. Amen. Our next hymn from the soft-covered hymn book, sort of at the end of your seats, more voices, 195, Long Ago and Far Away, 195.
Long ago and far away, Jesus.
Please be seated. Times of reflection are important in our life, and we mirror that in our service of worship through a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray. You who form all things in and for love's sake, we confess that at times we lose sight of your given goodness. Blinded by ignorance, we stubbornly insist on our own way, only to bring harm to ourselves and others. And then a bolt of lightning hits us. We see something new. We see it as if for the first time. Things weren't as we once imagined, and we are suddenly in need of redirection. So startle us with the brilliance of wisdom. Unsettle our certainties. Open us to enlightenment and realign our hearts in keeping with your own. Most of all, may we be humbled by a deep awareness of your merciful presence within us, saving us and transforming us for life. Take a moment to feel God's presence within you, saving you and transforming you for life. Amen. Hear the assurance of God's never-ending love and grace. Not once, not twice, but over and over again, we are forgiven and given another chance. Our great need for mercy is not a sign of weakness. Rather, it strengthens our witness for love. Such love never gives up on us, but seeks us from faraway places and desperate situations. Let us receive this good news and be always reminded, renewed by it for the journey ahead. Amen. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 11.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, the Tower of Babylon. At first, the people of the whole world had only one language and used the same words. As they wandered about in the east, they came to a plain in Babylonia and settled there. They said to one another, "Come on, let's make bricks and bake them hard." So they had bricks to build with and tar to hold them together. They said, "Now let's build a city with a tower that reaches the sky, so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth." Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which they had built, and he said, "Now then, these are all one people, and they speak one language. This is just the beginning of what they are going to do. Soon they will be able to do anything they want. Let us go down and mix up their language, so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. The city was called Babylon, because there the Lord mixed up the language of all the people, and from there he scattered them all over the earth.
Thank you. Our next passage is Stories of the Early Church from Acts chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. It is traditionally read at Pentecost, but we're reading it today because it goes so well with our passage from Genesis. It's the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because all of them heard believers talking in their own languages. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia, from Pamphylia, from Egypt, and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" Thanks be to God for these words.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been to a cultural festival? Anybody here ever been to a cultural festival? Thank you. Did you like it? Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool. Seeing all the different costumes, dresses, singing, dancing. I'm Alan Warren, and today's message is Growing in God's Love, and thank you for coming. Today you are going to learn about two main writers in the Old Testament, one known as the priestly writer, the other known as the Yahwist. You will also learn about the importance of having your own tribe, giving you a sense of belonging, but then also the danger of one tribe wanting to lord it over another. And then about the witness of the Spirit of Pentecost story that differing language, cultures, and tribes do not need to prevent us from understanding one another and uplifting God's work and being friends. Can I share a little bit of my own story with you this morning? Thank you. Margo and I have lived in a couple places, and in Brantford, I'm not sure if it's the last week of June, the first week of July, or a mixture of them, but there's a wonderful festival called International Villages. The ethnic clubs open up, churches that have ethnic origins, sort of the Ukrainian or Greek Orthodox churches, they open up and they have their traditional costumes, they have history out, they do dances, songs, and then most importantly, they have... Thank you. They have food. And Margot and I love to go and we visit the different locations and taste little things from different countries and cultures. I believe a similar event is held in Windsor, part of the Freedom Festival celebrated over Canada Day and the 4th of July holiday. So this morning, I would like you to think of a time when you either went to a cultural festival or experienced a different culture and saw a different culture. Describe it, and I guess what you liked about it, what you found interesting about it. And if you don't want to... If you'd rather just think about that and reflect on it on your own, you can do that. But please find someone new, introduce yourself, say your name, and share your story of a cultural activity that you have been a part of. Okay, go. Please stop. Thank you. And remember, you can continue those stories over coffee and tea. And when we travel, if we travel very far, we often experience, and we may not even realize it, different cultures, different heritages. We have two very interesting passages of Scripture today that are often linked together. One describing the origins of mixed languages in Genesis, and the other of how people were able to understand one another, each in their own languages. Cultural differences. How do we view them? A blessing or a curse? The different writers that made up the Old Testament are very evident in those first 11 chapters of Genesis that is called prehistory. Chapter 12 starts with the story of Abram and Sarah and how God was to be known through the story of their family tree and their descendants. But prior to that is called prehistory. Anyone here remember the story of Noah? Awesome. Tell me some things about Noah. He built an ark. Thank you. He liked to go boating. Wonderful. Anything else? Two of each. Only two. Okay, well, decided coffee, who's going? You know? Anything else? Two animals. Two by two. It was raining. Awesome. At the end, what happened? He did. Thank you for bringing that up, David. He did. He got drunk. He planted a vineyard and had a little too much to drink. That wasn't what I was going to highlight today. The dove brought him an olive branch, and there was a what in the sky? Thank you. A beautiful, beautiful rainbow. And after that, God told Abraham and his sons to go forth and have many children and spread your descendants all over the earth. So the earth would be populated. Now, in chapter 10, after a list of Noah's descendants, for both Ham and Shem's descendants, there is actually three sons, we find these words. They're identical. They're repeated for both lists. Living in their different tribes and countries, each group speaking its own language. Living in different tribes and countries, each group speaking their own language. Cultural diversity is seen as a part of God's good design for creation. Well, I'm confused, because if people of the world are already spread all over the earth speaking different languages, why does it say at the beginning of chapter 11, all the people of the world had how many languages? Thank you. One language, and they were all together in one place. Thank you. So that's a good question. Why? Answer, different writer. The Old Testament is a compilation of the sacred stories of both the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. And the story of Noah and the seven-day creation is written by what scholars call the priestly writer. And the story of Adam and Eve and the story of the Tower of Babylon were written by what scholars identify as the Yahwist. And the Yahwist writer is believed to represent the oldest stories in the Bible. And they do that by comparing languages, phrases, and comparing it to other languages. It's an interesting work. So the Tower of Babylon is a wonderful story. It speaks of the human nature of wanting to stick together and create an identity for ourselves. Let us make bricks and bake them to build a city so we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth. Birds of a feather do what? There you go. Flock together, stick together. As human beings, we tend to want to stick together. We want to fit in. We want a tribe to belong to with our own sense of identity of who we are. Let us make a name for ourselves. Have you ever called someone up midweek and said, hey, Susan, do you want to get together for coffee today? Yes. Thank you. Oh, your sister there. Sorry. What a coincidence. So Susan says, sure, I'd love to get together for coffee. I'll also call Linda. Do you have a friend, Linda, too? You do. That's wonderful. And so they sounds great. I'll meet you at 10:15 at the usual place. I'm sure you have a usual place. You know, I'll see you later. That's called getting together with your tribe. Morning glories. Getting together with your tribe. We all have them. We all need them. We are not intended to live alone, isolated from others. We need community. Birds of a feather flock together. Thank you. Now, this strong need for identity and cultural solidarity, we have this strong need to be in community, is overcome by the divine initiative and intervention. Let us, I don't know about you, but I'm always curious in this scripture who's God's talking to when he says, let us. And in some of these very old stories, we hear, let us. Let us go down and mix up their language so they will not understand each other. And this is how God scattered the people all over the earth, in the Yahwist account. Did you ever think what the world would be like if we all dressed the same, spoke the same language, ate the same foods, went to the same movies, the same music? What do you think it'd be like? Boring. Exactly. It'd be dull, boring. And you know what? God agreed. As one author said, God desired a little pizzazz in the world. So different languages and cultures blessed humanity with different foods and customs, stories, dress. The list goes on with some pizzazz. Do you like pizzazz? Yeah, pizzazz is cool. I love the TV ad, and I believe it's for the Caribbean Festival that's in Toronto on City TV, because again, it shows people in wonderful color and costumes. Here's the rub, though. While all the different languages and cultures can add beauty to God's good earth, they can also be a source of friction. My tribe is better than your tribe. Thank you. Hence gang wars, street violence, high school football games. Push them back, push them back, push them way back. Thank you. Orange Crush. Have you ever said our team is going to annihilate your team? Sunday afternoon football, waving the flag of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I don't know. Are they playing today? I'm not sure of the schedule. They played Friday and they won. Thank you. Against Edmonton? Awesome. Crushed. Crushed them. Thank you. In the late 90s, Arthur Schlesinger Jr., a historian and public intellectual, raised a concern about the looming balkanization of American society. He said that tribal interests and ethnic identities, he feared, would unravel the fragile bond of American culture. People of different ethnicities, races, languages, all crowded together in the same plot of real estate, spelled trouble with a capital T for Schlesinger. Think of urban areas, our present-day cities. Babylon with their skyscrapers, inner city ghettos, different ethnic areas. Schlesinger feared the kind of social disintegration that occurred in former Yugoslavia that led to ethnic cleansing. Unless a common purpose binds them together, tribal hostilities will drive them apart, he wrote. Now, in light of the tensions around the world and at times in our own cities, Schlesinger's concerns must be taken seriously. But they need not paralyze us in anxiety and prevent us from celebrating the rich diversity of people in God's world. The One Burlington Festival. Pentecost is a wonderful story that tells us with God's help, different languages need no longer be a barrier to understanding one another. Pentecost represents an inbreaking of God's purposes for all humanity, bringing together human understanding despite our differences. And the stunning good news for us that is communicated through the priestly writer's seven-day account of creation is that in spite of our differences, we're all created in the image of God. Do you know what else is more stunning about that story? It's believed to be written by the priestly writer when the Israelites were in exile in Babylon about 550 BC. And at that time, Babylon would have been a large mix of people from every corner of the known world. Many races, many cultures, many languages, many tribes. And here we have the priestly writer saying that all humanity, male and female, is created in the image of God. The Balkanization threat is real. Human beings, people, tend to fear the unknown, the otherness, the strangeness of the stranger. But the real threat lies not in the difference God has woven in the creation, all parts of creation, including humanity. The great danger lies in one group's lust for power over another group. Insistence that their identity alone reflects God's image, God's way, demanding that all others conform to their way of doing things, or in the extreme case, demand the other be erased from the pages of human history. We all know incredibly tragic accounts of genocide. So the good news of Acts, with its roll call of the nations, is that the image of God is not something that adheres to a single individual or group or language or race or color. We all heard in our own language about the great things God has done. When we allow God's Spirit to work among us, differences of language and race and color and even religion can be overcome, and we can work and celebrate together the good things that God has done and God desires for the human family. Worldwide communion speaks of this same miracle. People from around the world, a roll call of the nations, different languages, races, united in Christ, sharing a meal together. Or as Michael Jenkins said of Pentecost, the same Christ whose Spirit blows through the house, they were gathered together in one house in that story, in which they stood standing, whose fiery love created a community where only strangers stood before. What a wonderful phrase. The fiery love of God's Spirit can create community where only strangers stood before. The human family, rich in its diversity, reflects the unfathomable character of God in whose image we are all created, and whose love and grace we marvel at today as we celebrate worldwide communion. And as a symbol of that, our differences, the worship committee has decided to use pita bread in communion today, recognizing that in some part of the world, other people are sharing this bread and that it's their normal loaf of bread they go to the grocery store. So today we're trying to be symbolic of all the different people and races gathered around this table by using pita bread. Thanks be to God. Amen. It is hard to grasp the vast array of people, culture, traditions, languages, and dance that inhabit God's world. So is it also hard to imagine the vast array of gifts and talents people have to do God's work. We take a moment to share from our storehouse of gifts a portion to help God's work in the world. We'll now have our morning's offering. People are gathered to celebrate your love and grace, O God, around the table of our Lord. Bless these and the many other gifts that are collected to do your work, so that people of every race, tribe, and language will know of your goodness, celebrate your blessings, and live in the shadow of your justice. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In preparation for communion, we're going to sing hymn number 480, Let Us Break Bread Together, number 480. Mm-hmm.
us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall down on my knees with my face to the rising sun,
Canada, we practice what is called open communion, and the table is open to anyone who desires a relationship with God through a friendship with Jesus Christ. So I ask you to now turn to the communion liturgy in your bulletin or on the screen. Set at this table a place for love.
Gather in this moment all our history.
Witness in this place the story of grace. Break in this bread the body of love.
Sip in this wine the blood of Christ.
Share in this hour the banquet of God.
Cherish in each other the image of the Creator.
Come to the table and commune with your God.
Loving God, you have created all things and said that they are good.
You have placed us in this garden of earth and asked us.
Out of love for us, you have made many covenants and promised to be with us forever and ever.
Despite all you have done for us,
we complained and were ungrateful. We have not learned to share.
Instead of rejoicing in the differences among people, we have used these as excuses to put others down, to insult them, to take things from them, and to mistreat them.
You gave us your law, sweeter than honey, to help us live in your way. And you sent prophets to guide us and teach us.
You sent Jesus to live as one of us, to be our friend and Savior, and to proclaim your love for all people.
He shared meals and laughter with all kinds of people and said that everyone was welcome. Yet the very night that he celebrated the Passover with his closest friends, they betrayed him and denied knowing him and left him to die on a cross. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
But you raised him to new life, and he invited us back to the table where we are forgiven, fed, and sent out to proclaim the good news.
Jesus lives for all people. Through this special meal, remind us that we are forgiven and loved by others. Help us to find ways to be friends with others, even those who may seem different from us, so that together with all your people, we might share this beautiful garden home you have given us. The bread that we break the cup for which we give thanks
is our sharing in the life of Christ.
As you come forward, remember to, cup your hands, and the bread will be placed in your hands, a symbol of God's gift for us, freely given, God's love and grace. Then you are to take that piece of bread and just dip a little bit of the end of it in the wine, the juice, symbolic of our desire to act with God, to be more loving and caring, just and fair. Come forward. Hang on for a sec. We're going to feed you. Okay. We got to do this. Okay.
Okay.
Ooh. You're going to do that, and I'm going to take the cup afterwards. Okay, thank you. You serve us. Okay. Thank you. You're gonna get served. You're gonna get served. We get served first. Thank you. The gifts of God for the people of God, come forward as you feel moved to do so. If there's someone, if you cannot come forward for disability reasons, please tell someone around you and we will bring it to you. Which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. You're welcome. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. Joy. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. Okay, that's good. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. Do you need a hand?
This bread,
just have a seat there and we'll help and we'll get your... You're going to help him, right? Awesome. Thank you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. The blood of Christ which is shed for you. Everybody's been here, right? Oh, Keith over there. Here. Let us join together in the prayer after communion. Eternal God, we thank you that you have called your people from east and west and north and south to feast at the table of Jesus Christ. Keep us faithful to your will. Go with us to the streets, to our homes, and to our places of labor and leisure, that whether we are gathered or scattered, we may be the servant church of the servant Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is number 574 in the hardcovered hymn book, Come Let Us Sing of a Wonderful Love, number 574. I can put this over this. Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true, tender and true. Out of the heart of the Father above, streaming to me and to you. Wonderful love, wonderful love, dwells in the heart of the Father above. Jesus is Savior, his gospel to tell, joyfully came, joyfully came. Came with the helpless and hopeless to dwell, sharing their sorrow and shame. Seeking the lost, seeking the lost, saving, redeeming at measureless cost. Jesus is seeking the wanderers, yes.
above and the impulse to live.
May the bread we have eaten and the wine that we have shared help us to see God's image in everyone we meet in the coming week, friends and strangers alike. We have been fed at this table, and now we go forth to serve God in the world. Strengthen one another in a greeting and send them on their way.